Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 199, stanzas 1 through 5. His saints shall live, and to the King rich gifts in tribute shall be paid. His praises men shall ever sing, and for him shall endless prayer be made. 1 through 5 of Psalter 199.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, thereof the first chapter, John chapter 1. We'll read the first 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. And the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of this earth, we read out of thy word that thou art that light that was sent into the world, but the darkness did not comprehend it. And Lord, thou knowest how that we are also in this day, for we are also darkness because of our deep fall. And then also in this day, thy word does go forth concerning that light which has come into the world. But Lord, we do not of ourselves comprehend it. We have no eyes to perceive that light. Oh, wilt thou look upon us then in this day, even in this afternoon hour, that we may be given eyes by thee, and that we may be given the need in our hearts, that thy Son may become precious unto us also, for the first or by renewal. And what can we say to thee? What can we bring to thee from our side? That we would fill our mouth with arguments, because we deserve only to be left to ourselves. Lord, we must confess what we are, what we have become, what we remain. That is of ourselves so full of all that is sinful. And then we cannot give unto thee the least of that which thou dost require in thy holy law. Oh, and not even after received grace in the life of thy people. Lord, thou knowest what they must complain, that they are themselves so evil, born in sin, conceived in iniquity, and then even after that thou hast showed great mercy upon them, yet that old man, that warreth within, he so often has the upper hand. Lord, do remember thy church in this day, in which we may commemorate the giving of thy only begotten Son. Oh, thou hast also made him precious unto a people in the midst of us, that have had to experience what they are in themselves. Oh, thou hast also revealed him in thy own time, when it was so impossible from their own sight, when they could see no way, then thou didst make a way. Lord, oh, did thou not give them to rejoice in that day, oh, to glorify and magnify thy holy and worthy name, so thou wilt receive all the honor. But, Lord, thou knowest that they cannot give unto thee that honor with those things that have taken place in the past. Oh, it must be worked again by renewal. Then they are of themselves so helpless, so wretched, and so evil. Lord, may thou look on them this day. Oh, may thou pour out of thy Spirit. And wilt thou bring them again unto that place where thy dear Son in all his mediatorial engravings may become so white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000, oh, that they might see him as he that has taken away and removed as far as the east is from the west their transgressions from them. Oh, that they may glorify the triune God in and through that only begotten Son, that they may be given to see and to magnify something of that good pleasure of the Father already from that stillness of eternity. Lord, wilt thou bring thy people to know what it is even in the court of their own conscience, to be forgiven all their transgressions, that they may receive that blessed adoption of children, that they may be able to say, He is mine and I am His. Lord, work it in mercy in the days in which we are living. We do not deserve it, but take reasons out of thyself to look upon a church that is so far departed from thee in days of prosperity and blessing in this world. Oh, it is a wonder if thou wouldst continue those blessings. Lord, wilt thou not deal with us as we so justly deserve? Could it please thee to bring in new ones into that kingdom of God? Oh, to open unto them what lies within, and to make that precious child in the midst of that awful stable to become suitable also unto them.
Lord, glorify thy name amongst us and remember us as a nation. Lord, it is a wonder that still in an outward way that thy name that is spoken of throughout the land, the devil does seek to destroy it all. And then it could be that that time does come when it shall not be permitted to mention that name anymore. Lord, wilt thou remember us as a nation? Oh, that thou would turn us again unto thy law and testimonies, that thou wouldst not deal with us according to our sins, but have mercy and dealings with us, that thou would chastise us in measure, that we would not be brought to nothing in the end. Lord, wilt thou keep away all that is against thee and thy service and thy kingdom? Oh, put away the works of that prince of darkness in our land, and wilt thou restore again that which was known in this land in the days of our fathers. Wilt thou look upon all those over the length and breadth of this whole world that are seeking after thee and that are persecuted for that name. Oh, be on the right and on the left hand. Give that this name of that blessed child who was sent into the world to seek and to save that which was lost and may come to every nation in this world, that also those who have never heard may receive that blessed, glorious message, and that there may be hope and expectation in the hearts of those that had despaired of self. Lord, remember us in mercy. Wilt thou go with us in this afternoon hour? Oh, open thy word, Lord. Wilt thou thyself give us thy spirit in a double measure? Oh, give also a need in the midst of us, that thy word may become precious, that it also may be applied in the hearts of this one or of that one, that thy people may receive a little instruction from thy hand in this day, and that the unconverted may be pricked in the heart. Oh, that thine arrows may be shot forth by us, it can be but at a venture. But Lord, thou canst guide those arrows to strike between the joints of the harness. And then there shall be fruit upon the labor when man must die, and when he may find life in thee. And look upon us, forgive, Lord, all that is so sinful in us, and what is brought forth from us moment by moment. Wash thou and cleanse us in the precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son, young and old together, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 257, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord. Sing all the earth to God. In daily praises bless his name and tell his praise abroad among the nations far and wide. His glory celebrate to all the peoples of the earth. His wondrous works relate. And there is one collection today. It is for our school, Psalter 257. Stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5.
bless His name and tell His grace abroad among the nations far and wide. His glory celebrate to all the peoples of the earth His wondrous works relate. The Lord is great above all gods. Let glad hosannas rise. The heathen gods are idols vain. Skies. Great honor is before His face, and majesty divine. Within this holy dwelling place, strength and beauty shine.
Congregation, it is not difficult to make a breach in our relations with one another. But to restore that relation is sometimes very nearly impossible to our shame. It was not very difficult to make a breach in our relation with God. But to restore that relation, that is for us as fallen mankind, impossible. But did you ever now experience the impossibility of this restoration? Job wrote, "How should man be just with God?" We can read in the Word of God that Paul writes, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" There was a time that David also said the same, that he said, "I know that God is for me." But if this will ever become so in our life, then it's necessary that we first come to know that God is against us. The salvation of the church of God is a great wonder. But not only is it a great wonder, it will also be experienced in their own life to be a great wonder. There is nothing short of a miracle necessary for the restoration of our relationship with God. And it is now that salvation which has been thought out, that salvation which has been decreed, which has been performed, and also has been revealed by the Lord Himself. We commemorate that this day. Thus the birth of that Son of God that is such a great wonder. The fact of that incarnation, we heard a little in this morning, that is so incomprehensible to us. But also the purpose of that incarnation, that is also such a great wonder, that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. No less is the manner that He came to do this work such a great wonder, and especially humbling in the sight of proud man. But congregation, what has all this now ever come to mean for us in a personal way? Because we know the history well, do we not, also boys and girls? But did this never become more than a mere history? There is no rest outside of the knowledge of this mediator. But on the other hand, there is also no knowledge of this mediator outside of a deep unrest being experienced in our hearts. That is now the people who will need Him. And therefore it will be that people who will have Him revealed unto their soul in a personal way. We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider that in this afternoon, out of the words of our text, which were read to you from John 1, and thereof verse 14. John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So far the words of our text. The Word dwelling among men, first, who this Word is. Second, where He dwelt. Third, what was beheld. The Word dwelling among men, first, who this Word is. Second, where He dwelt. Third, what was beheld. And the Word was made flesh. Who is here being spoken of? It is called the Word. And actually that term Word, that is in its original the Logos. That speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who is the mediator. The ancient philosopher Plato also spoke about the Logos. There were some that even said that it was Plato that has influenced the writings of the Apostle John. That is, however, not the case, because that same Logos that Plato spoke of was not that Logos that was spoken of by the Apostle John. That was not derived from Greek thought, but it was derived from the Semitic thought, that of the Old Testament. We read in Psalm 33, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And the Word was made flesh. Why is it that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is called here the Word? And we have in this two very distinct, but also two very connected concepts, boys and girls. And you can also understand this. You also speak words. What are they for? What are words all about? Then we imagine things in our minds. But what are words for? Words are used to express the things that are in our minds. So we have thought. Thought that is the most immediate concept that is being brought forth out of that soul of man. Thus, thoughts, they are the image of the mind. They are the image of the soul of man. And yet those thoughts, they are distinct from that mind, from that soul. But those thoughts are born therein. They are born in our mind. And that's those thoughts, what is dwelling in the mind, that is coming to expression in our words. Thus, that is the first part. If no one is present to hear our words, then our words are simply an expression of our mind. But if there is someone in our presence that may hear those words, then those words are also something else. They are a revelation to that other person what is taking place in our own mind. Thus,
words, they are being used to communicate the thought or the product of the being, the essence, the soul of man. So that what is in our thought that you cannot know, that you may now know by a revelation through speaking, through the use of words.
Oh, have we ever a desire that we might know what is in the mind, what is the thought of God? Thus, how do these words and this relation between thought and communication, how does that now relate unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is actually called the Word? We know that Christ Himself is the only begotten of the Father. He is Himself the express image of His Father. He is equal unto His Father, and yet He is distinct from Him in His person. Christ is called in the Word of God the wisdom of His Father. Solomon writes, "Of wisdom the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old." Thus the Lord Jesus Christ, He is actually in Himself an expression of the Father. He is an expression of the mind of God. He is in Himself the revelation of the Lord, the revelation of the will of God unto men. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. The Lord Jesus Himself, He spoke, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him." Thus, it is through the Word, it is through that Son of God, that God Himself and the thoughts of God, what is dwelling in the mind of God, that is made known unto man. Thus, it is not only through Him, it is not only through His speaking, but He is Himself called the Word. That is, He is in Himself, in His being, in His essence, He is the revelation of the Father. He is the chief subject of that whole written word. He is Himself that great promise that was so often made and repeated over and over again in that word of God. All the promises of God, they are yea and amen in that Son of God. He is the substance, He is the truth of all that Moses gave by laws and by shadows and by types in that Old Testament. Thus, the mind of God, that is for us a mystery. That which dwells in God, that is for us covered, that is for us veiled. Until what? Until it is revealed.
until it is made known, until that it is spoken unto us. And then it is speech or words that are the most natural form of expression of our minds. But what does now Paul say? That God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. So that the Father Himself is declaring, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Thus God can only be savingly known in and through His own revelation of His mind and will, His only begotten Son. The Word was made flesh. Thus that means there was a time that this Word was not flesh. It says the Word was made flesh. That means before the incarnation, before the coming of Christ into the world, then that Word was not flesh. He was not yet revealed. He was only known how? He was only known by way of promise. Where was He? Well, we read, He was with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That means that He was in His presence. That means that He was with Him, as it were, face to face. That He has existed in the closest possible relationship with His own Father. That He has enjoyed with His Father a blessed fellowship. That He has taken such a supreme delight in that communion with His Father. Nor did He ever forget what that was for Himself, to be in that communion with His Father. Because we can read when He was here upon this world that He has prayed to His Father, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory that I had with Thee before the world was." Thus, what an infinite, what an incomprehensible wonder, what an incomprehensible love is revealed in the condescension of Christ to become incarnate. That is, to dwell in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Thus, not only in the beginning was He with God, but He also was God. Thus, John emphasizes the full deity, the full divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that is so denied by so many people today, and also that is taken away for a great part in many other versions of the Bible. Oh, we hope that you stay with that King James Version of the Holy Scriptures. He was God, the same essence with His Father, the same substance with His Father. And that we read in the beginning, that is, from all eternity. Thus, between the Father and the Son, a perfect understanding already from eternity, and that concerning the salvation of His church.
But what do we read in our text? We read here, "And the Word was made flesh." Does it mean then that the Word no longer was God? No, it doesn't mean that at all. When the Word was made flesh, that He ceased to be God. To be made flesh, that has a very special meaning here. And that does not mean that He ceased to be what He was before, but it means that He also took upon Himself something that He had not before. We read of Lot's wife, that she became a pillar of salt. And when she became a pillar of salt, then she ceased to be the wife of Lot. But Lot himself also became the father of Moab and Ammon. And when he became their father, then he in himself did not cease to be Lot. Thus, we read, the Word became flesh. Then he did not cease to be the Word. Then he did not cease to be God. But that he assumed that human nature without laying down that Godhead, not becoming flesh by mixing, by making some kind of a combination of two natures, no, but by assuming, by taking upon himself a nature which he did not have before, thus in the union of His person, but not only made flesh, but we read also that He dwelt among us. That is our second thought, where He dwelt. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That is not just a repetition, that He dwelt among us, saying the same thing as that He was made flesh. No. It is possible that He could have been made flesh and never dwelt among us. That He could have been made flesh and that He had remained with His Father in heaven and with all of the holy angels. But John writes this specifically. He writes, the Word was with God. Then he writes that that Word dwelt among us. Thus His being made flesh, that was permanent, that remains forever. But His dwelling, that was temporary. To dwell, what does that mean? That actually means to tabernacle. That speaks about living in a tent. So actually we could read that He tabernacled among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Dwelt among whom? Dwelt among His rebellious creatures. Dwelt among those
that had left him dwelt among those who had turned their back to him and who never had a thought or desire to return unto him again. David says, woe is me because I dwell in Meshech. David dwelt in those tents of Kedar. We read of Ezekiel that he dwelt among scorpions. We read the Lord, he says, that church in Pergamos, he knew where they dwelt, that they dwelt where Satan's seat is. But the Word dwelt among us. He dwelt among the Jews who have rejected him. He dwelt among corrupt creatures. He dwelt among those that were unworthy. He dwelt among those who were revolters. He dwelt among those who were worms of the dust. He dwelt among a generation of vipers. Oh, there were those who felt something of the greatness of what that meant, and that Word dwelt among us. Do you remember who that was, boys and girls? That was Peter. And what did he say? He said, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. We read of a centurion. And what did he say? He said, Lord, I am not worthy. Don't come any further. Don't come into my house. I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter in under my roof. Oh, they felt something of the greatness of that fact that the Word dwelt among us, and yet there was nothing more than that these desired, and then that they might dwell with this Word. And not only so, but how? How does John say that he dwelt among us? That is, he says, in the flesh. That term flesh has several meanings in the Bible. Here it refers especially to his human nature, that he is made of a woman. But it points especially to his whole human nature, his body and soul, but especially the frailty of that human nature. That he was crucified through weakness. Flesh. What is man? He is mortal. God, we read, he remembered man that he was but flesh. Christ put to death, we read, in the flesh. Man tainted with sin. Did Christ then become a sinner? No, we heard that. Which of you convinceth me of sin? How did he come then? Young people, how would that be if we would bring you to the prison and lock you up? So I don't deserve that. Don't want to be there. And why not? Say, I have done nothing wrong. Will you make me to appear as all of them? That is the way that the Lord Jesus came into this world. As one who had done nothing wrong. As one who was in himself holy and so undefiled, and yet has taken upon himself the same consequences of sin that you and I have on ourselves so justly because of that judgment of God. Oh, what a condescending love of God that he has from those eternal heights, from that glorious place, descended into the realm of the misery of man and appeared here, dwelling among us, just as if he himself deserved to be incorporated under that same judgment of God because of our sin. Took upon him, we read, the form of a servant, endured the cross, despised the shame. In this way he dwelt. In this way he tabernacled among us. That has an allusion to the Old Testament, to the tabernacle. What was the tabernacle? That was a picture. How that God could dwell with man. And in that tabernacle, we see a type also of the human nature of that mediator that had a very coarse outside, but within it was full of all the holy things. And within that tabernacle, God dwelt. There he dwelt with his presence. There something of his glory was bestowed. There the sacrifices were brought. There the sacrifices were offered. And there the sacrifices were received. Thus Christ, he has looked so lowly and mean without, but the fullness of that Godhead did dwell within him. And then through him, the people of the Lord, they have access unto that God of heaven. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and tabernacled among us. A tent is not a palace. No, he was born in a stable. He had not where to lay his head. A tent is used where? It is used on the battlefields. So he came to war against that seed of that serpent. And then he has gone himself out into that battlefield, and that alone, because of the people there were none with him, and tabernacled among us, that tent that was but a temporary dwelling place. The patriarchs confessed by their tents, what? That they were strangers and pilgrims here on the earth. That they dwelt here only for a little while. So Christ also tabernacled among us for a little while. And yet for all that lowness, for all that poverty, what does now John say? He says, when he tabernacled, when he dwelt among us, he says, we beheld his glory. Did you ever behold his glory? Let us sing first. Psalter 264.
264, stanzas 1 through 4. Come, let us sing before the Lord new songs of praise with sweet accord. For wonders great by Him are done. His mighty arm has victory won. 1 through 4 of Psalter 264. And we beheld His glory. Is that congregation not a wonder? What does John here speak about? He speaks about new eyes. He speaks about a new sight.
He speaks about a sight that is spiritual, because externally there was no glory. No, he was made flesh and he dwelt among us. There was no form, there was no comeliness. There was no beauty that any man in this whole world should desire him as he was. But what does John say? He says, we beheld his glory. Thus, they have received something of that Spirit from God. They have received a new sight. They have received a spirit of discernment. They have received the enlightenment of that Holy Spirit. Congregation, the world that is celebrating Christmas, and then you and I also celebrate Christmas in this day. But may we say with John that we have beholden his glory. To behold, that is not just physical sight. That is not just to see, but it includes much more. That is actually to fix the sight upon something. And then with the intention that we may be able to interpret that object upon which that we are looking. So that is not just a quick glance and that we look away again. That is not just staring at something with absent-mindedness, no. But that is looking in earnest. That is reflecting upon that object which we may see, a very careful examination, a thoughtful consideration. What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He says, lift up your eyes and behold the fields which are white and ready to harvest. Lift up your eyes, consider it, look upon it. Behold it. What do we read about the disciples when the Lord Jesus went into heaven? Then we read that they stood and that they were gazing up into heaven. What is now the meaning of all this which we see? Now John says that that word was made flesh. And he dwelt among us in the flesh. And yet he says, we beheld his glory. John and the other disciples, they are given more than that natural sight, but they are given faith to believe in him. Oh, they may gaze upon him in all of his works until the Spirit may enlighten their understanding. Then they may see the clear tokens of the divine majesty in that Son of God. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Not a glory like the Father's, but a glory that belongs unto the Father himself. The glory of that Father. Congregation, the longer that we live with each other, the more that we see, and the more that we behold of the faults and the shortcomings of one another. But the longer that the disciples may live with him that was made flesh and that dwelt with them in the flesh for that short period of time, tabernacled with them here below, the more that they may see of his glory, then they may see that he is omniscient, that he knew their very thoughts. And then they may see that he himself is so omnipotent that he may perform miracles. Then they may see his doctrines when he has explained them to them, when he has spoken in parables, when he has opened their understandings. And they beheld him in his baptism. They beheld him in his transfiguration. They beheld him in his judgment, in his oppression. They beheld him in his suffering, in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, in his ascension. And they saw, they beheld in all his dwelling, his tabernacling amongst them, they beheld his glory through that state of his humiliation. And what was now especially the glory of that word that was made flesh that the disciples may see? They say it. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They saw especially that glory of the Son of God in the fullness of the grace and of the truth that dwelt in him. That is now the glory that is revealed by the Father in the sending forth of his Son, full of grace and truth. Here is now the thought. Here is now the decree. Here is now what is lying in the mind of the Father. This is why that he sent his Son into the world, to reveal this unto man. No, the world was not given to see it. But who are given to see it? Those who need his grace and his truth. Full of grace. What is grace? Unmerited favor. The goodwill of God to those who are so undeserving. Or what did John say they saw? They saw it over and over again. And with every leper and with every blind man and with every miserable one in this world. And then especially with those who so obviously did not deserve it. And then they saw that he was so full of grace, and that he would go and that he would sit with publicans and with sinners. John says, we beheld his glory. We saw not one come to him and that was sent away. No, we saw his grace. And we saw them come. And we saw them bow down before him. And we saw them healed everyone. Oh, we saw them rejoice. We saw them magnify the blessed and holy God. And not only did we see it, but he says we experienced it ourselves. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. Oh, they saw him, that he was the fulfillment of every promise of the Father, even from the beginning of the creation. Oh, they saw him, that he was the final reality, that everything that God has spoken by every one of his servants was so certainly true, that it was so brought to reality in that Son of God who was made flesh. All those laws of ceremonies, they could not fulfill anything. They could not satisfy. They could not take away the consciousness of sin in man. No, they were a shadow of things to come. And now John says, we have seen its fulfillment. We have seen the truth of it, every word. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came, he says, by Jesus Christ. Oh, we have seen the truth. How that he came to reveal himself as he that was come to merit the redemption of his own church. To merit the justifying. To merit the pardoning. To merit the adopting grace of God. The sanctifying, the justifying grace of God. He was able to do it. Why? Because he was made flesh. And because he tabernacled among us. And then we have seen his glory. Full of grace and truth, congregation. It is Christmas Day. Then what do we commemorate? The Word that is made flesh. Thus the revelation of the thought of the mind of God. What therefore is the thought and the mind of God? They are thoughts of peace. Full of grace and truth. Is that ever a wonder? Did that ever become a wonder to you in a personal way? David says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, because he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. The coming of Christ in the flesh is the revelation of grace and truth to unworthy creatures. But are there here unworthy creatures that may receive a fullness of grace and truth? Oh, may you ever see with the disciples. May it ever be revealed unto you more that is of than of the flesh, but that which is of the Spirit. Oh, if it is so, then that need that has been born in your soul. Otherwise, he never has been revealed. If it is so, then you have become a sinner before God. If it is so, then your own righteousnesses, they have become as filthy rags. But what a blessed glory, what a blessed fullness of grace and truth are not seen in this world by those. Oh, what a mighty arm that the Lord is revealing in the life of those who stand in need of grace and of truth. Oh, what a necessity. What a preciousness. What a suitability is that blessed Son of God who was made flesh and who came to tabernacle among his people, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, that is the mind of God in the revelation of his only begotten Son to the spiritually leprous. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That is the revelation of God in his Son to those who are the chief. And this is now that people who are given with the apostle to behold something of his glory. O children, boys and girls, when we would say to you, do you desire to see something of the glory of God? Oh, then maybe you would say yes. Oh, there is so much glory in this world that is drawing to your natural heart. But would you ever desire to see something of the glory of God? Oh, when we would have to stand outside of that mediator and see the glory of God, then how would we not fear and tremble, calling to the mountains to fall on us and to the hills to cover us? But oh, to behold the glory of God as full of grace and truth, then we fall also. Then we fall also. And we fall in worship, and we fall in adoration, and we fall to glorify and to magnify that Word that was made flesh. Congregation, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Say, not in our days. No, not in our days. We afterwards, that we may receive the fullness of the gospel, that we may behold the truth of the fulfillment of every promise concerning that Word that was made flesh. He dwelt among us. How shall we then stand after he dwelt among us? And we said, we have no desire and we have no need of him. How shall we then stand? And dwelt among us, or ask that we may behold his glory. But then it needs to be seen first. What we have become in our deep fall, that we may behold his glory and not be forever and forever condemned, but that we may behold his glory full of grace and truth. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is thy own word. We cannot see thy glory. We cannot see the smallest part because our eyes are closed to our own sin, our own condition, and therefore no desire. Lord, thou dost reveal that glory. Still thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, look upon us with our dear children, and give us knowledge of self, the revelation of the glory, the grace, and the truth of thy only begotten Son. Forgive all that was sinful this day. Bring thy word in our hearts. Give us to meditate thereon, and that we also may behold, that we may seek to interpret, that we may seek that it may be sanctified personally. Wilt thou look upon us in the rest of this day? Help us also in this evening, in the sister congregation, and thy servant also in this area, and all those who labor in thy kingdom. Give place for thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 320, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. Ye gates of peace and joy untold, ye gates of righteousness unfold, and that I may enter in with and raise a song of thankfulness and praise. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 320.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.